there a lesson or something that you would have liked to have known that you could tell yourself?
That's a hard question. Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
Obedience, I think, is the main thing.
Yeah.
Obedience, and I think silent or waiting and believe hope.
Mm.
I don't know if this is the right answer to your question.
There is no right answer.
Yes,
this is your answer.
I think it's the main thing for Christian faith is hope, you know. Mm.
Yeah.
Hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nom somopon. Yeah. Triple tempo. Yeah. Thank you so much. This has been one of the reasons why we've started to do this particular series that we're doing, which is called I've Been Meaning to Ask, is that we have so many. We are a congregation made up of stories. So many stories. So many that we haven't asked about. Often because there's not enough time on a Sunday. But isn't it awesome to hear some of the stories that we have amongst us? It's just, well, I love it. So, we're kind of quarter past. I'm going to do a very, very quick message. We're going to have communion. We'll be out of here shortly. So, we are into week three. Once again, just before I start off, thank you so much, Sam. Thank you so much, Rosemary, for sharing those parts of your life with us. It's truly a treasure. Mm. So, we're week three into a series called I've Been Meaning to Ask. And this morning, the question that I'm going to ask or talk about just for a few minutes is, where does it hurt? The last 2 weeks we were looking at where do you come from? But this morning it's, where do you hurt? Because who here has ever been in any kind of need or pain, whether it's emotional, physical, spiritual? I think we could all put our hands up, couldn't we? Every one of us. And when we were experiencing that, whether we were experiencing it now or in the past, what did we do at that time? Did we wail? Or did we just kind of bite our lips? And kind of do our hurting and our needing in silence? Because I've done that quite a bit. And I've sometimes wondered why I do that. And I think some of it came from church conditioning, whether it was, well, actually, I don't think it was on purpose. But the church that I first went to, not this one, when I first heard Jesus calling, was a great church. We had a fantastic pastor. But I think there were a number of Job's friends in the pews. Yeah. And so if we had a problem, if there was suffering, if there was pain, there was more than a little, what did you do that you are so far away from God's favour? You better get on your knees and do some repenting. Or we might have had a few people who do one of my pet peeves. Greg, where are you? You're my foil. If I said to you one of my favourite statements from Ben Witherington, a text. Oh. A text without a context is a pretext to make it whatever you want. So when people just pull out little verses of the Bible from whatever context they found them and put them all together. You could do that to say that drinking is great or drinking is terrible, depending on the proof texting that you use. So we a text out of context. And so who here has ever said, with God, all things are possible, pick yourself up, you can do it? With the subtext being that you and God alone are meant to get through this. However, when we do that and we suffer in silence, then we miss out on the body of Christ ministering to us through these people that you're sitting next to. So just briefly, we're going to have a little look once again at the scripture that was read this morning from 1 Samuel. Because here we have this deep grief experienced by Hannah. And it's a wonderful reminder to us of what is acceptable to God. And it's a wonderful reminder to us of how we should be and can be with people in their pain. Not as Eli first started off, but how he came to be after he sat with her story. So, once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. And now Eli the priest was sitting in his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. And in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son that was her particular need, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. And as she kept praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. And so Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. How often have we been an Eli in someone's life? Hannah hears deep in anguish, weeping bitterly. You know, we assume she's praying silently, her lips are moving, no sound is being heard. If you don't know her backstory, I'd invite you to go and read the first bit of that chapter. It's not long. But by the time we meet her here, she has been humiliated. She's been provoked for a condition that she has no control over. And now, by a representative of God in Eli's company, she's been falsely accused. And Hannah here could have just stepped away, rejected, dejected, but instead we see her taking agency, the same agency that God has given all of us. Ever since Adam and Eve were given agency to work in the garden. And when Eli accuses her of being drunk, she denies it. Not so, my Lord. I'm a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. And then the magic happens. But the magic happens somewhere between that full stop and the start of the next sentence. Somewhere between there, where Hannah has been able to share her story, and Eli has stopped and listened to it, God has moved. the power of stopping and listening to someone's story enables God to move greatly. You know, Hannah's been given space to share her story, her experience of pain, of shame, of household bullying, of disappointment, but also her expectancy that within all of that, God is present and that he's listening and that he cares. And God moves in Eli because after he hears her story, his heart is so softened that he stops and he acknowledges her respectfully, not as the problem, but as someone who has a problem. And although he's not able to provide an immediate solution, he's able to hear and accept her hurting and to pray for her. Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. There are a lot of Hannahs in this world. Some of them are sitting on these pews. A lot of them are outside of the walls. There are a lot of people who are carrying secret sufferings, whether it's childlessness for whatever reason, chronic illnesses, anxieties, job losses, financial insecurities, addictions. What would it look like if we were able to not dismiss them all and say, man, if they just got a haircut, had a shower, got a grip, got sober, just stopped doing what they were doing. But instead, we were able to come alongside people in their pain, knowing that there might not be anything that we of ourselves can do except bring the very presence of Jesus in us into that situation. That's being a priest, people. When we're able to represent and be the very presence of God in a broken situation, in a broken world, and when we are able to present that broken situation, that broken creation to God, that's a priestly duty which we're all called to do. If we are ever to be people who are going to be used magnificently by God, and he desires to use us all magnificently to bring peace, to bring his healing to this world, then we must be willing to pause with people, to listen to their story, to bear witness to their pain, to our pain. Because when we can, oh, look what happened to Hannah. When she was able to express her story without the shame, but with dignity and honesty, trusting that God was present, listening to her cry, listening to her wail, my word, because Hannah was changed. And being heard, with Eli bringing the very presence of God into that situation, being with her in prayer. As she went away, she said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. She went away and ate something, her face no longer downcast. To me, that says hope. That's your story, to be reminded that there is hope. The very hope that Jesus gives us. I think I've got myself all tangled here. in mind. This morning, we're going to come to the table. Well, the table will come to us this morning, so I believe the Glover group is on duty. If I can have some people almost ready. We're going to turn our gaze away from Hannah and Eli and turn them to the table. Because over the course of our lifetime, we gather around a lot of different tables, don't we? Family tables. Oh, my heart grieved as well, because I heard the missing of that table. There are a lot of tables in our lives. Each one of them has a different hold on us, a different significance for us. Some of us make us want to linger at them, and some of them make us want to finish our meal and get away as fast as we can. You know, if we're out at lunch, or maybe over a wobbly cafe table, we may see our friends, but we may also see our own insecurities. Am I really wanted here? Am I really regarded as a friend? Am I worthy of my seat here? Or you might be seated around a conference table or at our desk at work. And we may be dreaming big dreams, wonderful dreams. But we might also see toxic competition and experience fear and anxiety. How secure is my future in this seat? Or it might be at the family table, where there's laughter and conversation and just fun times and memories. But we might hear silence that just shouts out in our loneliness. And we may look at chairs that are never going to be filled with the ones that we hope would come and sit there. We gather around a lot of different tables throughout our lifetimes, in a lot of different places, with a lot of different people, but there is none like this one. Because here at this table, we can bring all of the different pieces of ourselves, all of them. Not only can we bring them, but Jesus compels us to bring them all. Our dreams, our joys, our fears, our insecurities, our pains, and our hurts. They're all invited, all welcomed. Here at this table, we show up hungry and we are always fed. We show up empty-handed and we are told, come. No need to bring anything because the table is already laid. We show up wondering if indeed we're wanted, if God really will invite us to sit. And we're met by a God in the person of Jesus who says, the food's ready. I knew you'd need to be fed millennia ago. I knew you would need the food that only I can give you. It's ready. The table is set. The chair is yours. It has got your name on it. We have been waiting just for you. So yes, there are a lot of different tables that we fold our legs under in the course of our lives. But there is none like the one that we approach this morning. This one has a seat saved just for you by the one who invites you to it by name, Jesus himself. He invites you this morning to take of it, to bring all of yourself to it. Those things that make you whisper, those things that make you wail, He says, come, let me fill you. Come as you are, because you can bring nothing except your willingness to be filled by me. So let us pray. Jesus, we thank you for this, your table. Because here at this table, we remember that we are seen, we are heard, we are loved, and we are forgiven by you. Holy God, Father, Son, and Spirit, you have shown us how to love, and you continue to love us and extend grace to us even as we fail to do so to others. So we thank you for the endless grace that you have laid out for us on the table this morning. Enough for all. Amen. If I could have the servers up, please. Busy in your life, he is busy weaving your story into his big story. He's busy in all of our lives, weaving all of our stories together. So may you have the strength to ask for help from those he is weaving around you. And may you have the awareness of the Holy Spirit always beside you, showing you where he is at work and where he is beckoning you forward. And in the name of the great weaver of stories, Father, Son, and Spirit, may you go in peace and may you return with great new chapters next week. Amen.